Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. This is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm excited because in studio with me is Dr. John Townsend.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing today?
Good.
Good. And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Chris. We're kind of a unique trio today.
We are. It's like the first time the three of us have been on together.
Got to check out the chemistry. I hope it works.
Yeah, I know. See if we like each other.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Well, all month long, we have been giving away this book called People Fuel for anyone who contributes to New Life Live. And I want to talk about it.
Great.
So, John, tell us about People Fuel.
Well, we're real excited about it. It came out about a month ago, and on Amazon, on its day, it came out. It was a double number one. It was number one in Christian self-help, and it was number one in Christian leadership. So it kind of reflects that our business and our personal life and all that, that God has them all together.
Yeah.
The main idea of the book, it comes from 1 Peter 4:10, where Peter says, we are the stewards of God's manifold grace. Mm. Where do you get your energy? Well, we all think I get my energy from God and the Bible and the Holy Spirit and prayer.
Yeah.
And that's what we call the vertical aspect. We get lots of energy and guidance from God. But there's also a horizontal aspect, which is each other. And so it's basically what the neuroscience says about that, because I study neuroscience so much because it basically says that the Bible's right. Everything that neuroscience is saying about functioning and love and relationships.
But wait a minute, that's all new, John.
Yeah, it's all new, right? And it's sort of like, okay, God finally gets some credit here that people are the source, a main source of God's very grace. So it's how do you maximize the gain people in your life, and how do you minimize the drain people so that you feel good and you can function well?
Well, and I noticed that one of the main factors of depression is lack of usable energy in the brain.
And that's something.
And you're helping us understand why, for instance, we're always encouraging people to get into healthy groups, find safe people, and then People Fuel is really leading us in that next step.
Yep.
And there's some. What are some of the nutrients that we're looking at?
Yeah, well I took the concept of bionutrients. We all know we need like more, you know, we got to eat right and take our supplements. And in the body, if you don't have enough calcium, you get like osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough iron, you get like anemia. So you got to have this. I took the concept and I trademarked the word relational nutrients as a way that God gives us health for our brains, but not in a pill form, from conversation to your brain to my brain and to your brain and to my brain through a text, a phone call, a dinner, or whatever. And there are things like affirmation and challenge and acceptance and attuning each to each other, validation of experience. And basically, it's sort of like if I'm giving those to you and you're giving those to me, our brain's going to be healthy. We're going to have positivity. We're going to have energy. And we're going to have resilience, because that's how God keeps us healthy.
That is
excellent.
Well, and
John, isn't this the basis for therapy as well?
It is.
And people say, how can talking really help?
Yep.
Well, it does help, right?
It
changes the brain.
And it's not just not some kind of a kumbaya thing.
Right.
There are actually organic differences.
Yes.
When you're with the right people now. So it's how do you do that? And People Fuel is the way you do it.
Well, and I think, again, the helpfulness of that is like we understand that community and relationship are important, but so many of us have maybe never experienced it or don't know exactly what that looks like.
Right.
And you're helping us identify, here's the characteristics, here's
there's
the pathway.
There's a science to it. There's science and steps. It's very, very practical.
And one of the other things that I read in the book is when in doubt, forgive.
Yeah.
It just stuck with me. And I thought about you two today. We have forgiveness experts in the studio today. And so that can lead to a lot of life and health and vitality. We're going to be in the studio for 3 hours today. So give us a call. If we don't get to you right away, stay on the line, and we're going to help you discover energy for your life so you can show up as God has intended for you to show up and do His will. And as we were talking, be the image bearers He's created us to be. So we will get to the calls when we get right back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. In studio with Dr. Jill Hunter.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Chris. John's making faces at me.
We're smiling at our Facebook community.
Yeah, hi, okay. Hey, if you want to see us in studio, you can go to New Life Live's Facebook live feed, and you can see us right there. So with that, I want to jump into the phone calls. Let's go to Lisa in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Lisa, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. How can we help you today?
Okay. I'm having issues. Well, I'm struggling with the adjustment of my mother-in-law moving into our home from Connecticut. She's never really had a relationship with me or my husband or my children for 20 years. And she has been diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh, gosh.
And it was terminal when she left Connecticut. So I made the adjustment and agreed with my husband to move her here in this area in Maryland. And so since she's been here, she's gotten better. And they told her that she's not terminal anymore.
Oh, wow.
But she is, which is absolutely a miracle. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel... My heart, I just don't feel like I have forgiven her for all of the hurt that she has caused me and my children and how mean she was to me over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just hurting and I feel like a horrible person because I don't want her in my house because she has taken control over every part of my house. She has taken my husband, away, pretty much, and I know this sounds terrible. I'm a Christian, and I want to love her, and I keep asking God to help me to do that.
Yeah,
but I'm still not able to do that yet.
Yeah,
and my husband, he preaches, and we've met with the pastor, and the pastor said if her condition is not terminal, then we should look for other options for her, like a assisted living facility.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, let me jump in really quickly here. So I hear there is a lot of conflict going on inside of you. And so is there a question for us that we can help you with? A direction we can
give? How do I forgive her and everything that she said, I feel like sometimes I can forgive her and I'm moving forward. Then she'll say something mean to me and I'm back where I started. So it's like, how do I get out of the hole that I feel like every time she says something offensive, I feel like telling her to leave.
Yeah,
and I don't want to do that, but I want to figure out how do I overlook that offense and not let my flesh get involved.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, you're in a really hard and yet common struggle. Right. And it's the struggle of like, what? How do we forgive? And yet in the context of a person still hurting us or us still feeling the pain.
It's really difficult to do because the offense is still happening daily. So it's like we're having to forgive daily, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard because forgiveness, a lot of times, you have to be able to look back. Like the behavior, you need to be in a safe place to say, okay, now I'm free to forgive that behavior. But Lisa, that doesn't mean that you forgive and suddenly, you know, you've got this close connection with her. Reconciliation is very different than forgiveness, right? That takes two people. And if she's unaware or unwilling, then you can't truly have a connected relationship, even though you've forgiven.
Yeah.
Well, should I tell her how I feel?
Well, there needs to be some kind of communication.
Let's come down to some basics. Let me give you kind of a stepwise thing on this. Lisa, everybody's right here we're supposed to always be forgiving, but forgiveness is about the past. We forgive a bad past. If it's ongoing now, you've got to make it the past, and you make it the past with boundaries.
Right.
See, once you set the line, maybe do what your pastor said and said, we've got a hard time here, or can you change your behavior or whatever, and then she's either in assisted living or she changes her behavior and becomes a nice mother-in-law in the house, however that happens. But once you've set the limit and said, this can't go on like this, now you have a past to forgive. So worry less about forgiveness and worry most about creating a past. You don't have one now. So I would just sit with the pastor and say, okay, what's the solution? And then go to her and say, if you could be nice to us, maybe you can stay a little bit longer. But if you can't, we got to find a place for you. Now you have a past.
So that's a lot easier said than done, Lisa.
Much easier said than done.
Right? Because we're not sitting here looking at your mother-in-law. So it's going to take a lot of prayer and support, and I think you have to start to say some things to her, you know, like we're so happy that you are no longer terminal, right? Now that gives us time to work on our relationship, because I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last 20 years, hasn't been so great.
Yeah, so now
can
that you're not terminal,
it'd
be nice to us. That'd be nice.
I think I'm struggling with there was an expectation when she came because they gave her like weeks to live and now it's no expectation and I'm feeling like, am I supposed to just live with her through forever?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so
expectations change.
Yeah, so when the circumstances change, the expectations need to change with it. And Lisa, what I want to remind you today is that what I hear underneath this is that you desire to live out your faith very well. But the idea of boundaries is that we're protecting something that has value, that's important. Your heart, your mind is incredibly valuable. And she violates that value. And so boundaries start with, I need to protect me so I can show up with God's will in my as a wife, as a mother, in my life.
Yeah, Proverbs 4, guard my heart.
Exactly.
I've got to guard my heart so I have a heart to guard.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and boundaries are the loving thing to do.
Yes.
They're not mean.
We are not loving people well to let them wreak havoc in our lives and neglect ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Doesn't help her.
So I want to encourage you to move in the direction of restoring order and safety into your house.
Order and safety. That's good.
Yeah.
But that's creating an issue with my husband and I because he's saying that all I'm doing is living by my flesh and I'm holding on to my flesh and how I feel.
Well, Lisa, we have another issue here, and that is a great issue to go to couples counseling with.
Yeah.
Because again, now you're finding that there's this is exposing some struggles in the marriage, and so I really, really want to encourage you to seek out counsel there.
And whenever a couple is upside down on that, Lisa, just say, get the book boundaries. We've got 300 Bible verses in there. If he's calling you a fleshy person, say, well, there's 300 Bible verses that say I'm not. Can we have a talk? So don't worry about like if he likes that or not. Go do what the Bible says.
Absolutely. So, Lisa, what we're going to do is we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries. And, yes, get into it, understand it, and move in, again, in the direction of health. I want to restore order and safety into the home so you can live in a healthy environment. And again, you guys can show up with God's will. So thank you so much thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
And we'll get you boundaries. Let's keep the calls rolling. Let's go to Aaliyah in Chicago, Illinois. And she's actually listening on Facebook. So Aaliyah, are you there? Not yet. Okay. That's okay. Oh, nope. There she comes. Aaliyah, are you there?
Yes. I'm here. Good.
Yeah, I got a question. Everyone. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes. My name is.
Excellent. Aaliyah, what can we do for you today?
I'm very happy and grateful that I have this opportunity to ask question direct to Ms. John Thompson, because his book made so big impact on my life. Aww. And I just wanted to ask for some suggestion, because I have been living in the United States for 1 year with my husband, and almost immediately when we came to this land, we started to face some problems in our communication. His aggression, and I become immediately defensive against this aggression. I cannot handle the words like "you are stupid," "you don't use your brain properly," "you are guilty," and things like that. I am trying to say about my feelings, about my needs, about my requests that I expecting from him, because this is not, it's so disrespectful from his side.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to always to find the solution, how I can manage this situation. But the problem is that, unfortunately, I was diagnosed with some liver issues, and right now I'm taking treatment here in the United States because I have insurance over here. I'm very grateful for this opportunity, but I cannot make any changes during my treatment time. I cannot leave the home. I cannot do anything. Mm. But how can I protect myself against this emotional abuse? I just don't know, and I'm just looking for
Aaliyah
for wise suggestion. I'm sorry, English, it's not my mother language.
It's okay.
That's okay.
It's okay. Let me. I just have a question before John jumps in. Aaliyah, is this new behavior for your husband since you've come to the U.S., or was this happening before?
It didn't happen before. When we came here, he received a very, very good job. He received a very high position, and I think it's also changed a lot, in his life perception and so. Because before, everything was.
So he didn't treat you this way before, where you.
No. Okay. No, he didn't.
It started since. Okay.
This way before, but he, I just realized that he treats the same way his mom, but I didn't know about it because they always pretend to be in good relationship, but in reality it wasn't like that.
So it was kind of brewing, and he does have a history of it. You just weren't the recipient until now.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. I'm soft target on all of his frustrations.
Really, really sad to hear a situation. Yeah. I have an answer, but I have one question before my answer, which is, what is the access to support that you have? If you say you're housebound, does that mean that you're trapped with this man who's abusive and there are no human beings around you to help you? Or are there people you can visit who visit you, or phone calls? I need to know what support you have before I tell you my idea.
I have a lot of support. I found a really nice community at the churches. People are very, very nice, very supportive, very polite, but they don't know the answer. I mean, how can I manage this situation at home? Should I stay quiet? What can I answer?
Okay, I just was trying to make sure you're not trapped. Okay.
Yes.
This is based, Aaliyah, on Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about confrontations. And I'm going to give you three steps. Number one is, we're vulnerable and we go to the person and say, "You really hurt my feelings, and I don't mind hearing correction. I need correction, and I need people to tell me where I need to do better." But words like stupid are hurtful. Some people will change depending on the seriousness of their emotional disorder. Some people will change and we just say, that hurts me. And they say, I don't want to hurt you, and they're nice to us. If vulnerable, that's stage one is vulnerable. Stage two is direct, and you get firmer, and you say, this has got to stop. You didn't listen to my vulnerability. It's got to stop, or something will happen. And some people go, okay, you're serious, and they change their behavior. The Bible calls that repentance. The third one is consequences, which is where you have to say, I'm going to need to leave the house or see a pastor or see a counselor because it's not okay for me. So either I leave the room or I get in the car or you leave the room, but something's got to happen. And then you follow up with consequences. I would go to this church and say, I would tell them, I got to go to the church and find somebody who's going to help me, and we'll get in a group or a pastor or a counselor. That's stage three. You escalate it according to what he does.
Aaliyah, do you hear that?
Yes, of course. I hear I'm
good. Good.
And we're going to send you people fuel because it's going to tell you the kind of people to get around you so you can tolerate and feel loved while you're doing some hard stuff.
And that book can also help your husband be a mirror for what he needs as well.
There you go.
And big changes causes a lot of stress, and under stress we tend to digress. And so Aaliyah, thank you so much for calling in today.
Make that up?
I've heard it before.
I like it. Yeah. Leah, we love you.
We'll be right back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live.
Put us together, Chris.
Yes.
We need safety and order in our house. We don't have safety and order.
Hey, we have joy and laughter.
We have joy and laughter.
I'll take that right
life
now.
Life is humorous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Some humorous curves.
It is. Mercy. Absolutely. Mercy. Again, Chris Williams in for Steve Arterburn today. And John, you have this Leadership and Counseling Institute. Tell us more about
that. We're real excited about it. It's the Townsend Leadership and Counseling Institute at Concordia University, Irvine, California. We have hundreds of students around the world because it's all online. You can do it anywhere in the world because people want to get that next step in their career. I need to get a master's in counseling. We have three tracks, master's in counseling, master's in coaching and consulting, master's in organizational leadership, and people say, I need to get this information. Well, we made it so you can get it. It's reasonably priced, and we're highly relational. We don't want to be that kind of place where – oh, I'm online, I'll get in the kitchen, and I'll pull up my laptop and my coffee and my bunny slippers and look and see what I'm supposed to do. No, we have cohorts, we have groups, we're all video. I've made 400 or 500 videos for our students. I'm always online with the students. Train with me. I want to train with you if it's the next step for your career.
Well, and I can affirm, knowing a couple people,
going through
the program, what I love about it is that you're not just getting information. Actually, for the students themselves, it's a transformational experience.
That's our word. Transformational. And not a bunch of lists in your head.
Exactly. And so transformed people are much better equipped at leading transformational experiences.
No question about it.
Excellent. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah, we've got a few days. Our first kickoff in this fall is in a few days. So if people sign up now, they can still get in and change their whole life. Now they're getting jobs because we've been out 3 years. They're getting great jobs.
I was at the graduation. And
that's
right.
You were there.
And you had so many people graduating. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And they're in the market
amazing.
Now. And they're coming back and saying, we got wonderful jobs.
Aww. That's awesome.
I'd love to see you. I'd love to train with you.
That's awesome. Well, hey, we're in the studio this hour. We're on for two more hours. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, and let us help you out today. We would love to hear from you and love on you, give you some direction. So with that, let's go to Sherry in Bowie, Maryland, also listening on WAVA. So Sherry, how can we help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love listening to you guys every day on my lunch break, so I get a lot of information. But I'm just calling to ask, so I have been kind of just starting to date. I'm 28, and I feel like there's an issue that I have with abandonment that I'm trying to walk through the steps of healing. And I feel like sometimes when I'm dating, it kind of comes up whenever something doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that by God's grace, I've gotten to a point where I've told myself that everything does not have to work. And every time it doesn't work out, it's not a negative thing. Sometimes it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of still, I'm sorry.
I said absolutely. You're right. It is. It's not a negative thing because you're sorting out and discerning, right? So sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I feel like now, like even when I get in situations where it looks like everything's right, but for some reason, and it might just be millennial men, which I'm fully aware of and accept as well, but it's like they get really intentional in the first 2-3 weeks, and it's just like they just disappear. And it's like, I do have to see you at church. So, you know, like it's like trying to be open enough to continue to date, but also not, I guess, as available enough that you think that you can just kind of pop in and out and that I'll always be available to have a conversation when you feel like it. And so for me now, I'm just trying to see, is it better for me to just kind of focus on the healing part, which I feel like I've been focusing on for quite some time. So I'm just not really sure what to do. I don't want to harden my heart and feel like I can't talk to anybody, but I also don't want to date prematurely if I don't need to yet.
Well, Sherry, I just got to reflect something back to you, and you're carrying a lot of internal wisdom. I mean, you're asking the right questions. You're framing it the right way. So I just want to affirm to you that I think you're probably better off than you think you are, and you're certainly very wisely aware. But one of the things I want to bring you back to, it's something you may already know well of, but abandonment has a unique quality to that experience and that what we call that trauma. And really, it eats away at our inherent worth a little bit more so than other types of traumatic experiences. And so we're constantly asking, do I mean anything? Am I worth anything? Do I have value? And the tendency is then to look for relationships to give us our worth because we sort of can start with a sum-zero worthiness. And so, therefore, we put actually too much stock in the relationships around us, especially the romantic and dating ones. And so I just want to encourage you to keep on your healing journey as you increase your internal sense of worth and worthiness. Then it's not something you're constantly bidding out to the nearest Christian guy, but something that a guy will need to come and respect from you and handle well.
I love that, Chris. I think you just summed that up so well. Because, you know, and maybe, Sherry, you can take this information and make that shift inside. And I don't think it's an either or. Should I be out there dating or should I be working on myself?
Yeah.
I think it's a both and, right? You're working on yourself, but you're open, right? to see, you know, what God brings along your path, to go new places, to experience new things. You're open, but you're working as you go, and you're sharing those experiences so that you can make sure you're not basing your worth just on every glance or nod that this guy makes.
Yeah. John, anything to add?
Just had a Bible verse I thought about for you. Ephesians 3:17 says we're to be rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah.
Root and ground yourself in the non-romantic relationships. They will make
you like
a big ship who is stable and has a foundation, so then you can tolerate guys that can be kind of flaky.
And Sherry, we're gonna send you People Fuel. We will be right back after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, New Life Live. Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And again, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey, Chris.
Dr. John Townsend. And a special guest in studio.
I'm not a doctor.
And you're not really a guest. You're the guy that runs everything.
So we call him the president. He really loves that title. So, but Larry, do talk to us. Give us an update on what's going on here
in
your life.
A couple things. You realize we were having a matching gift. We promoted it starting in June and ran it through July 31, which is tomorrow. It was $324,000. Last week, we met the match. We made the decision we're going to continue. We'll match your gifts through the 31st. Wow. We'll go find the money to match it.
Excellent.
This morning, we're at $360,600.
Wow.
So we're $36,600 over the match.
Oh, wow. That's
so great. I'm looking to the three of you for $12,000 each. So thank you. I want to say thank you.
News.
Yes, our audience, it was a step of faith for us to put it out there and a bigger step for you folks to match it. So you got today and tomorrow if you want to keep the match, your money doubled. Whatever you give, we'll double it. So some way or another, God will.
Mm-hmm.
This
God
is a step of faith, and we think God will make
it
happen.
Money.
Absolutely. As we ask and knock on doors and ask people at the same time.
And as people give, they will continue to get People Fuel. Is
yes,
that correct?
Sir.
And so, again, you're hearing about it live from the author today.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, again, vouch for this material. It is really, one, it's really crucial. It's really important because God has created us as relational beings. and we can't find health in isolation. And John's writing is really helping us find and increase health and honestly energy to live life well.
And if you believe in New Life, here's something that New Life does just to reinforce this. This lady writes, I basically grew up with New Life. My mom introduced me to Steve Henry and John's books, which we read and discussed together. Now I'm a school counselor, and people might describe me as the Boundaries Queen.
Oh, so, that's isn't that cool? a great title.
Yeah. I love that.
The Boundaries Queen.
And there's a couple others another time, but we're getting second-generation folks involved with New Life, and I love that.
Yeah.
And so thank you for what you do, buddy, and what this program does. And thank you, everybody who's given, and if you could do it a little more, we'd love it. If you can join Club New Life, we'd love it. So
absolutely.
Get on with the calls.
Can I say one word? Just, guys, you know, I've been with the New Life family for a long, long time, and I can tell you, as a person who supports the ministry, it's the best bang for your buck. They are efficient. They put it in the right places. There's no fat on anywhere. Mm-hmm. It goes straight to the help, and people's lives are transformed.
Thank you. And speaking of the help, Every Man's Battle, August 9th in Sacramento, also September 13th in Houston. If sexual struggles is something that is showing up in your life, I can vouch for this. There's not an area of your life that it doesn't negatively impact. And you don't have to continue in that struggle. There is help. There is healing. Come join us, Every Man's Battle, August 9th in Sacramento. And also, this thing that I talk a lot about, this our hurts and our pains, our untouched hurts and our untouched, unhealed pains often lead to a lot of problems, especially relational problems in our life. And our Finding Freedom conference, it's coming up in September 20th in Dallas, will help you identify what are the areas in your life that keep you stuck and trapped in your pain, and really how do you move through that to greater healing so that you can show up, again, more free, emotionally free, relationally free, and what I get really excited about is creatively free.
There you go.
And
right.
So, yeah, check those out. Again, we're in studio for this hour and a couple more after that. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And right now, I want to go to Brandy in DuBois, Pennsylvania, listening on Siri XM. Brandy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking the call. So my question is, right off the front, am I giving tough love or being spiteful? And that is the reason why I have a friend that I have known for 30 years, lived with him off and on, and he's handicapped, has MS. He went from walking with sticks to a manual wheelchair to electric wheelchair, and now basically being bedridden. And whenever I come over there, I'm a truck driver. I get 34 hours per weekend when I come home, and what I do with that time is very valuable. And whenever I come to his house to visit him, you know, I feel like I'm watching him die. And I know that he can choose to be where he's at. He chooses to not do anything about his weight or about his diet. And I'm just like, I feel very frustrated. And when I've gone over there, I just feel like I'm sitting, you know, watching a man die of a friend. Or, you know, being in a wheelchair, watching TV, and I used to be where I could hug him. I have to get on top of him to hug him now. And well, now it's just basically we touch hands and then I leave. And I just don't know if I'm being too harsh.
Yeah.
It is a 30-year friendship.
Wow.
And
I haven't heard anything harsh that you do in your behavior yet. What behavior are you considering that might be harsh, Brandy?
Well, I don't go visit him.
Oh, you've stopped seeing him as much.
Right. It's been now 6 or 7 weeks now since I've gone over there, and I just don't know what to do.
Have you told him why you haven't shown up?
No. Well, see, we went through this period of where you been. It's like, well, because I'm a truck driver, everything has to be by the phone, not
so you're anxious and about letting him know that you're getting discouraged about the relationship, but you haven't told him why you've avoided him at this point.
Well, he knows that our relationship is by phone now. We can't do text, and visiting has to be And, you know, doesn't you, wouldn't you say what, if you're going to visit somebody, it has to be worthwhile kind of thing?
Not necessarily.
I mean, especially if,
okay, let me give you another side to this, Brandy. There are people that we need to leave, but most of them, they are people that are like trying to shoot us or kill us or throw a bomb at us. God doesn't leave very many people, honestly. He talks about the second mile and the third mile. And if you feel like this is a relationship that you need to get nutrients from, well, I get that he doesn't have much to offer you. He doesn't want to grow. He's probably depressed and needs help. But if the best love I think you could give him, and I don't think it's spiteful at all, is to say, you know, I'd love for you to get more people around you. I'd love for you to do it. And just have a nice talk with him. You say, I'm concerned about you. I'm afraid you might pass away. And I want you to get going. And if he says, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, and he writes you off, but you've had the talk, then you need to adjust and say, okay, I still want to see you. We're friends. I probably can't see you as much as I'd like. But friends do that with each other. I have friends in denial, but I still love them. I don't walk away unless they're like trying to kill me. So just manage the expectation again. But you might be that little Jesus with skin on that kind of keeps coming by to say, how are you doing? And who knows? He may respond later. So I wouldn't worry about that piece.
Yeah. Brandy, I think I agree with you, John. Adjusting your expectations and really thinking about, okay, what stage of life is he in?
There you go.
You know, what is the potential for his, excuse me, his life? And, you know, like, what's the best he could hope for? And I think I would try to get behind his eyes and start asking him questions. What is it like for you to be in this bed every day?
Yeah.
As I'm driving around in my truck and I'm thinking about you, I'm wondering what your world is like. I'm out there and I'm seeing all kinds of things, and you're seeing the same four walls. Help me understand. And what are your hopes and dreams? Do you have any more? What are you, looking towards?
Yeah.
Like, I think you need to develop some compassion for where he's at in the stage, because it's so unique.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are still vital and living, we don't want to be around something that reminds us of the end, right?
Yeah.
Of dying and of leaving this world.
And, you know, that's really good. That what she said was really good, because I'm thinking, I'd rather him leave you than you leave him. Because if you say, look, our relationship's going to change a little bit because I'm so concerned for you, I am going to be bugging you about getting friends and getting out and having church to come to see you. And so it's going to be part of every conversation now. I'm going to stop just, you know, patting you on the back. And just
pretending.
Say,
stop and
until,
pretending.
Until he says, hey, I hate it that you're telling me to get in my life. Don't call me anymore. What? Okay, then he's left you.
Can I add something?
Sure.
I came over unannounced, and it seems to be that it would be better if he actually invited me to come over. That way he knew what to expect. He'd be up. He'd be,
Well, don't just wait for him to invite you. He's probably passive. But you call him and say, let me know a good time to come. But I do like that. I like something scheduled for that. But I think you really have a lot of potential to love the guy.
And Brandy, in that, speaking of what Jill was talking about, pay attention to how grief and loss shows up inside of you. Because oftentimes we avoid these situations because we're avoiding our own grief and loss in the process.
Absolutely.
So we're going to send you a copy of People Fuel. Again, it's going to help you identify who gives you energy, who takes it away, and how to get healthier.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back, New Life Live, again in studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi.
Hubbard. Dr. John, I will get it out one of these days. John Townsend.
Townsend.
Could we get Chris some more coffee? Or maybe less coffee.
A little starstruck. Actually, I'm starstruck in a lot of ways. I just want you both to know that you're right.
Seriously, Chris, you didn't say that the other day with me.
No. Well, yeah, it's true. It's true. So, but no, your writings have meant a lot to me. I know they've meant a lot to
people.
Look
that way.
Oh, mercy, my gosh. Where's Steve when I need him?
Really? Hey, why don't we help some people? There's an idea. Okay.
Let's do this. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Marlin in Denver, Colorado, listening online. Marlin, how are you doing today?
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk with all of you. I have a significant question I cannot answer without your help.
All right. Well, let us help you.
It involves a serious betrayal among two of my children, and so we're handling it with just love and acceptance, but I'm not sure we're doing it right. So, one daughter is in a, they're all Christians involved here. One daughter is married to a man who's gotten her into open marriage, and she's also now a stripper. I called about 2 years ago about this.
Gosh.
We have since gotten some further information that we didn't know about then. The daughter, just older than she is, very tight, very best friends, almost a second mother to her. We just found out not too long ago that stripper sister in open marriage took the older daughter's husband to the strip club to see her. And husband of older daughter was doing this behind his wife's back. And he has since gone off on multiple affairs addictions, and the marriage has ended. Older sister, sorry, I'm crying. Older sister loves younger sister. We all do. She totally forgives them, but she's waiting for them to acknowledge that's kind of a big deal. Sort of acting like she should just get over it, and that her standards are too high, or that she's that she shouldn't think it's a big deal. And she doesn't trust them because ex-husband takes her children to their house still. When she's asked them both not to do that because it's disrespectful of her. So we're not sure how to handle it because basically we act like we love everyone. We had a recent family gathering for a graduation, and older daughter is very respectful and kind, but she's not going to engage or bring the cousins around because you are unsafe until you realize that was a serious betrayal.
Marlin, what is the question for us? How can we help you today?
Is there a better way to handle the relationship? We're not talking about it, even though the sisters have talked. Do we continue to behave like we love you and we hope you figure it out? Keeping relationship with the grandkids.
Right. Marlin, have you been able to say anything to your younger daughter about it? I mean, of course you love them both, but that doesn't mean you condone everything that they each do.
Right. I was there when older sister talked to younger sister about it in person.
Okay.
Younger sister felt remorse at the time, but as soon as she got home, husband called older sister and was very, got very upset with her for making his wife cry, is what he said.
Oh, for threatening his lifestyle, really, is what he's upset about, right? Because
that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Younger sister still has a heart, a tender heart, even though she's involved in things that could harden her. It's remarkable that she's still very loving and tender-hearted.
And what about, is there a dad involved, your husband?
Yes.
Okay.
He's struggled with sex addiction and is in recovery. So
oh,
he,
my goodness.
Okay.
He's not skilled in handling these sorts of things.
Okay. Okay. So he's in recovery, which, you know, kind
everyone
of...
knows that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
But what does he stand united with you in feelings about this? Because, you know, okay. I mean, I guess I'm wondering, would there be any opportunity for the two of you to go talk to younger daughter and husband and just say, you know, as a family, you know, here's our stance. You know, we may not agree with your lifestyle, but there are certain things as a family that you don't do.
Yeah.
And we need you to know that this is where we stand and that we would like there to be some, you know, mending between. But here's the other thought, and then, guys, you can jump in. I'm wondering, your older daughter, I mean, certainly the majority of the fault lies on her husband, right?
Correct.
Even though, so that's, because I know it's easy to put the anger on, you know, maybe the other party instead of on the spouse that said yes, right?
Fortunately, she doesn't feel angry. She just feels like, you're not safe, I can't trust you.
Well, and that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really true.
Marlene,
so we do... Go ahead.
This is a really complicated situation, and we're a little bit limited on time, but I want to get to some basic principles. There is harm that is actively being done. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. To wink at evil is to cause harm. Steve repeats that proverb often.
Proverbs 10:10.
Exactly. I really appreciate that, because the confrontation of the harm needs to be had. There will be no restoration of health. There will be no reconciliation until the damage stops. And so there needs to be a direct confrontation of that. And that is risky, because we don't know how the other people are going to react to it.
But so the older daughter has done that directly.
Well,
and the,
well, Marlene,
and the daughter and husband.
Marlene, let me jump in. Let me jump in.
Uh-huh.
I believe that comes from you and your husband, not from them. These are your children.
Right.
And even if they're an adult, you guys are still the parents here. And you're seeing your daughters harmed. And I'm saying, you don't need to idly sit by and watch this happen.
Or pretend for the sake of family gatherings.
Exactly.
So even though this is a part I didn't say, I don't know how much farther I should take it. They know where we stand. And they're shocked that we still have relationship with them, and they have expressed appreciation for that.
That's great. I'm actually
Is that
shocked
enough?
That no, I'm shocked that you have a relationship with them as well, but I'm also grateful that you do. I recommend this. The four of you need to get into a good family counselor to deal with this crisis, to say the things that you're afraid to say, to confront the truths that are causing harm, and to put a plan together to put boundaries around harmful behavior and restore health, both first to the individuals and then to the relationships.
Yeah, I really think that the guys are right about this, Marlene, that you have the hard talks, and you have been doing that, you know, and there's a lot of integrity in that. And then if you get them in counseling, then you're in great shape. But if they say we don't need it, then what you got is there's agree to disagree, but there's toxic. Mm-hmm. So I would go to all the parties that weren't like at strip clubs. I'd go to healthy parties with people that I really disagree with their values because I love them. But if they're toxic, they're messing up my kids, they're attacking people, they're, you know, making things dangerous for me and the ones I love, no, we don't go. And that's how families work this out.
So we have to finish up the show here. But Marlon, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. Mm. It's going to help you guide you through this process. Thank you for being with us. If you're on the line, stay on.
Thanks for listening.
And
we hope
love
this
you.
Program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.